Welcome to Rider Club Radio, the podcast all about Kamen Rider. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm your co-host, Liam.
And on today's episode, we're going to be discussing the newest episode of Kamen Rider Drive, which is 28. Liam, what happened in today's episode?
Well, Jeff, today Tomari was still impounded. He still wasn't allowed to transform into Kamen Rider Drive because of Neera. So everybody concocts an elaborate scheme to get Neera to allow him to transform by having Chase to transform into his Roidmute form and then run around smashing shit up in the pit, in the special investigations team area. So they're like, oh no, it's Chase, he's killing everybody, help!
And they all become like really overdramatic kabuki actors for that whole scene.
And Neera's like, oh no, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? And Tamari's like, well, I wish I could transform, but I am unable to. And it's a really fucking funny scene. And so Neera allows him to transform so he can continue doing his thing and doing the investigation. And Go is still helping the lady from last episode. He's trying to help him find, he's trying to help her find her brother who's been kidnapped by the monster of the fortnight. So they go to find the brother, but then it turns out the lady who was looking for the brother is the monster of the fortnight, and she amplifies people's...
Whoa, fucking spoilers!
Holy shit! Kamen Rider Drive... Oh no, you're listening to the fucking podcast, okay? Get used to it.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Liam's getting kicked off now.
Dead guy's coming by.
So she is the monster of the week, and she amplifies people's bad emotions by touching them, which is why Go was extra pissed off at Chase last episode and why they fought. And knowing this, he still fights Chase again when Chase shows up to help him. And they have fight, and Go wins, surprisingly, because apparently Chase is stronger than Dead Heat, but not anymore, I suppose, so... And then Drive...
Now he's fucking pissed!
Go is absolutely pissed. Because of that huge revelation last episode that his dad created the Roidmutes, that's crazy.
Still a good one. I'm excited about where his character's going, especially at the end of the episode where 001 reveals a bit of his plan.
Yeah, well, hang on. So Drive beats the Roidmute. The Roidmute turns out to be... Or the lady who was hosting the Roidmute turns out that she was, like, the daughter of that dude from the Type Zero DVD that you might have got if you went to see the movie.
He was actually in an episode of Drive as well. He is a specialist. Like, he wrote a book or something on criminology, and he was a criminal himself is why... And he worked for Neo Shade.
Neo Shade? Is that like Foundation X? What is that?
Neo Shade was the criminal organization that Shinosuke and his partner were trying to bring down before the whole, like, global freeze.
Yes, I remember Neo Shade now. It was so long ago, but I remember that.
It was a while ago.
That DVD presento that I watched way, way back. But yeah, she's that guy's daughter. It doesn't fucking matter. At least not right now.
It matters. That shit is super important for like 5 seconds at the end of the episode.
Oh no. Maybe if she comes back, or if the other guy comes back, maybe. But...
Man, she was like straight up like her dad was dead or some shit. But he was just in jail, isn't he? Like,
yeah.
He was in an episode previously in jail.
The fuck down. He hasn't been given the death penalty or anything. He's paying his debts to society.
I don't know, you know how the Japanese justice system works.
Yeah, I played Phoenix, right? I don't know where they are. But the big stinger at the very end of the episode is Brain comes to Go, and he's like, oh, Go, I know you're really pissed off, so you should join us. And Go is like, and then it ends.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
What?
No, that shit happens. He comes to him and everything, but the only reason we know what he's gonna do... is because 001 appears in a very menacing scene before that where he's like, I'm gonna bring out our secret weapon to destroy Kamen Rider Drive, and Heart and Medic, who appear for the first time in forever, are like, what's your secret weapon, 001? We love you! And he's like, it's fucking Go!
He's exploiting the anger in Go. He's like, oh, Go hates Roidmute so much, he hates working with Roidmute so much, so I bet he'll come over to us.
Let's make him hate Roidmutes real bad, then he'll join the Roidmutes.
It's a sound plan, 001. You got it going on there.
It's gonna work. Shit's gonna work.
Well, I have a prediction about this, but I'm gonna save it for later. First, tell me what you thought of the episode 28.
I'm really enjoying the fact that we're getting plot for a change.
For
and
sure.
It's not at the expense of the humor and characterization that Drive had up until this point. And before anybody jumps on it is like, hey, what about Kiriko? Her characterization's right out the fucking window. That started before the plot started.
Yep.
And you're right.
No one here is going to argue that Kiriko got fucked over the course of the show. Her character, I mean, got fucked over the course of the show.
You're, like, dipping into some fan fiction here. But yeah, I really like this episode, and anytime Neera shows up on screen is A-okay with me.
Oh yeah, Neera. I hope he's in every episode from here on, at least once. I need him.
I want him to be really happy in every appearance he makes, too, because that's when he's absolutely the funniest.
Yes, when he's being a smug bitch about, like, screwing over Tomari somehow. That's his best.
Yeah, I gotta say, the plot is proceeding in a direction that I'm really enjoying, and I didn't think that was gonna happen a while back. So I watched the episode with a big old smile on my face. And it was actually nice to have a Go-centric episode where I didn't want to, like, strangle the shit out of him. I really enjoyed his plot as it went through this episode, and I understood where his character was coming from for the first time in ages. So good job, Toei. You actually got me to, like, mock again. I didn't think it was gonna happen.
Sasuga, writers. You did it.
What are you, some type of weeboo?
I'm watching fucking Kamen Rider, man. What are you... Does it get more weeaboo than Kamen Rider? Like, where do you go from there?
Watching Kamen Rider and being a weeboo sure is segoy.
It's the kawaiiest thing you can do.
What did you think of the episode?
Much like you, I enjoyed it very much, but I think we reached a couple of really great turning points in this episode. Chase does something funny. Like, purposely and knowingly includes himself in something hilarious. Like, when he steps on and he's in, like, his generic Roidmute form and he's waving his arms around like he's in some, like, kid's haunted house monster, I was like, oh, it's just Q in a suit or something. And then
That's what I thought, too.
Q comes out behind him and I was like, oh, who the fuck is it? Who, like, what characters could be doing this? And it was Chase. I was like, oh, okay, he's being a silly man. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, that was great. And I also really enjoy that Chase is just part of the damn crew now. He's like, yeah, I'll help. You're my best pal, Shinosuke.
Yeah, he's not always around, but he's there when you need him. You can come to him.
He's already better than Shadow the Hedgehog. He has graduated from Shadow to Knuckles.
Okay, that's definitely a step up. Knuckles is about the top of where you want to be.
Yeah, as a secondary character, Knuckles is right at the top where you want
to
be.
Yeah, so it's nice to see Chase, like, it wasn't a big moment, but it was like, eh, you see how far he's come since the beginning of the series. It was good. And I think you've pretty much spoken what I think most about this episode. Like, it's good to have the plot going, it's good to see, like, this is the first time in a long, long time where I've actually been, like, really excited to see the next episode. I actually want to see what happens next in this show, like, not since Gaim have I felt that way about Kamen Rider.
Man, I was excited last episode. I was like, holy shit, they're going to reveal more about Go's past or whatever. They didn't. But I was excited for it.
Well, because shit was happening, right? Like,
yeah.
But next week, when Gaim comes out, or when, fuck, when...
Gaim. Gaim's coming back?
It's both an I sound, so it's easy to mistake. When Drive comes out, I'm probably just going to I'm gonna get on that, like, right away. It's going to be the first time I'm probably going to be, like, sitting on Overtime's page, refreshing and waiting for the new episode, because I really want to know what happens. So that's good.
Not to say that we only endorse Overtime subs.
No.
Even though we do.
This is neither an endorsement nor condemnation of anything. Please don't listen to our podcast.
Go listen to Overtime.
Yeah.
They have subs all over their site. Yeah. Wink. You can do TV Nihon too, that's fine.
Sure. You're still
or
a beautiful
whoever
person.
Else, whatever.
No matter what subs you listen to or read, you're still a beautiful person on the inside.
Unless you're not.
I think what's going to happen with Go... Here's what I think was going to happen. I think he's going to go over... I think he's going to go over to the Roidmute side, and I think he's going to be a double agent. I think he's going to be like, I'm going to use this opportunity to really fuck those Roidmutes from the inside. Do you think that's plausible?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. He's going... Even if he's not a double agent, like, if they brainwash him... Brainwash him.
What do you... Oh, fuck you. That was a slow burn, that one.
It was even better that you didn't know. That was even better.
I was like, what are you trying to...
Anyway.
Okay.
They're going to brainwash him, and maybe they'll brainwash maybe. Him. Even then, he's going to turn traitor against them and be like, "Ah, you stupid roid mutes, I hate you all. How dare you think I'd join your side, you idiots."
He would turn around and be like, "What the fuck are you thinking? Like, the whole reason I'm having this character arc is because I don't like roid mutes, and now you're trying to recruit me. Like, what was your plan?" I don't know. It's going to be good. I strongly look forward to where this arc is going.
Well, I don't know about that. Let's look at the flip side of this coin, knowing where previous Kamen Rider series have gone.
Mm.
What if they convince him that because he's Banno's son, that he has to be like his father?
Ooh.
And he believes it now, that he's fallen into this despair.
You know what? I would like that even more. To have the Rider, the secondary Rider, become a villain, even if just for a little while, become a legit villain.
Because that's never been done before.
Oh no, fuck you.
Like last season.
I like it, okay? I like Rider conflict. You know me, I love Ryuki.
I know.
I like that.
I like Riders being bros. I never get that shit anymore. It's all conflict all the time.
Yeah, because, you know, stories get more, like, characters get more complex, they develop more, they're not just always bros. They're bros sometimes.
Why can't anybody just be bros? Why can't there be two characters who are just bros? Like the Hopper brothers. They're just bros.
They're the edgiest bros this side of the fucking universe. But yeah, I guess so. Seeing the Hopper brothers, I've said my piece about the Hopper brothers. They're fucking hilarious.
Love them. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But seriously, good job, Toei. I was, at some point a while ago, I've always sort of sung the praises of Drive, like, oh, it'll get good, give it a chance, it's not bad. And Liam just shat all over it to begin
with. I was unforgiving towards Drive for the first little while.
After a little while, I did kind of debate on just giving up the series, coming back to it later, just watching it all in one go. Because if I don't really get into a series, I'll just watch it intermittently from then on.
Yeah, because at least then you can push through the nothing in, like, one night instead of having it drag out over weeks. But
Drive... Toei has redeemed themselves.
Absolutely. I never would have expected it to get like this, but Drive has picked up so hard.
And next episode, we meet the man who maybe killed Shinosuke's father.
Oh, yeah! In the next episode preview, we see the man who killed Shinosuke's father, but probably not. I bet it's not actually him, because we know it's 00... Oh, excuse me. We know it's 001.
You better hope you're the one editing this fucking episode, because I'm going to leave that in.
I'm going to leave it in, too. You know what? Fuck it. We're real here.
100% authentic.
We sit on chairs backwards. We're completely hip. We don't edit shit out like that.
Sit on chairs backwards, huh? What is this, 1993?
But, I wish.
Yeah, next episode we get to see whoever killed Shinosuke's father. Maybe we're gonna get the plot moved forwards. And speaking of that, isn't this series just like daddy issues the show now?
Yeah, a lot of characters' fathers coming out at the same time. Like the thing with Shinosuke's dad and the thing with Go's dad both appeared in, was it the not the same episode, but like real close.
It was like two episodes apart, maybe like an episode apart.
But at this point, I'm so fucking thirsty for plot, I'll take it. I'll take it. If it brings pathos to the characters and adds, like, overarching plot arcs that'll span more than two episodes, I'll fucking just give it. I'll take it.
We need Gen to come out and be like, I have an evil twin brother.
Yeah, go do
just,
it.
Just whatever plot.
Gen's dad created the belt, and they're estranged. I don't fucking... Bring it out. Maybe Nira's dad. I want to know more about him.
Maybe I just want there to be another Nira, so he could be in multiple scenes at the same time.
That would, you know what, that would legit make a good gag if Nira's dad came and he was just an older version of Nira and they acted exactly the same, like same movements and everything.
Maybe a roid mute should copy Nira, they don't notice for several episodes. You as the audience can notice because he's in several scenes that happen at the same time.
How did you find my fan fiction, Jeff?
Viewers at home, listeners at home, I want you to tally up how many times each episode we say the word fanfiction. I bet it's a lot.
I don't know about fanfiction. I think asking Toei to call us is more frequent.
Yeah. My phone's still just sitting there on the desk, not ringing.
Waiting.
Hit me up, Toei.
So overall, Drive episode 28, thumbs up for you?
Thumbs up. A+. 10 out of 10.
Absolutely. If you're listening to this podcast and you haven't started on Drive, you should do that. It's worth the beginning, the slow beginning.
Why would anybody be listening to this podcast if they haven't watched Drive?
You know what? I got one, I think it was a YouTube comment or a tweet or something. One viewer said, I listened to this podcast and I'm not watching Drive.
Well, more power to you, you fucking weirdo. I'm glad you enjoy the podcast.
You scared him off. What the fuck, man?
Well, he hates me now. He might still like you. He can listen.
Yeah, okay.
Or she. We do not discriminate.
That's true. Don't assume.
What do you got next? What's next on the pipeline?
Gaim Guide came out this week.
And I have not seen it. I want to preface this. I could not find a completely legitimate legal copy that I would own and pay for to watch.
Every time we're talking about watching episodes of Kamen Rider, we have flown to Japan to buy the DVDs. Don't worry, everyone.
The DVDs that come out one episode at a time as they air.
Our weekly flight to Japan. It's because the subs were released by a sort of obscure group. Like, it wasn't Overtime, it wasn't TV Nihon, it was a guy named Orange Lion.
Orange Lion.
I won't assume.
Don't discriminate.
I don't know who Orange Lion is.
Yeah, anyways, I didn't get to watch it, so tell us about it, Liam, tell us.
Well, Jeff, Gaim Gaiden is divided up into two parts, Zangetsu and Baron, and they both take place during the course of the show, about, like, the halfway point of the show.
So it's a Gaiden, a side story.
Yeah, it's a Gaiden, a side story, exactly. If you like Ninja Gaiden, you might like this.
Nothing alike, but go ahead.
Zangetsu's half is about a maid that he used to have as a kid, because you know Zangetsu's a rich guy. Mm-hmm. A maid that he used to have as a kid comes back, and at the same time, there's a mysterious rider that's beating up all the riders, like,
Is she hot?
Yes.
Okay. I would have figured.
Why did you need to know this?
No reason.
Okay. She comes back, and at the same time, there's a rider that's beating up other riders, and I wonder if it's a mysterious rider. Who could it be? It's obviously the girl. And
is it Michi?
No, it's not Michi. She beats up Michi once.
She
kicks him. And everyone's like, Takatora's like, oh my god, this maid, why did you come back and start beating everyone up? And she was like, your dad, Takatora, your dad, you and Michi's dad, was experimenting on humans. On human children. And like turning them into invests, I think. In their basement. Or like in the basement of some, some abandoned warehouse on the edge of town. There's a lab. So he's like, wow, that's fucked up. I didn't have anything to do with that, though, and she's like, I have to erase his lineage. I gotta kill his kids. That'll be the final fuck you. I already killed him. I gotta kill you two now.
Interestingly enough, a friend of ours was so fucking convinced that Takatora's father was going to be the main villain of the series that he argued me tooth and nail that he was going to be, and I was like, he's not even going to show up in this fucking series. He's unimportant.
Which friend was this? Can you give me his name without revealing who he is?
I cannot give you his true name, but you know who the fuck would argue about that.
Okay. I'll ask you afterwards. But anyways,
okay.
She fights Takatora. Takatora uses a brand new Lockseed, which is like a prototype of the watermelon Lockseed. It's just like Melon Arms, the usual one with the shield, except it's painted like a watermelon, and it's got a big fucking Gatling gun on the end of the shield, so you can block with the shield, and then you can shoot a motherfucker with it. So they fight, and she loses, and then Ryoma appears, Sengoku Ryoma. He appears and kills her, because he gave her her Lockseed, and it was some experimental thing that he made. Something... You remember Yomatsu Hegari Hellfruit Arms?
Yes.
He said it had something to do with that. It was like a prototype of that, or something.
Even though it had nothing to do with it.
I don't know, they had to tie it into the main story somehow.
So that was pointless. What happened in Baron's story?
Baron's story is fucked. That's all I could say about it. There's a guy comes in from another country who looks exactly like Kaido, and he wants to live Kaido's life. He's like, wow, he looks exactly like me, and he's really cool, and he dances, and he turns into a Kamen Rider. So he finds Kaido in the streets, and he knocks him out with, like, a spray in his face, and he switches clothes with him. And there's a lot of gags ensuing with Kaido being all silly and stuff, because it's not actually Kaido. And that's one of the funniest things about it, is because Kaido's actor, the actor that plays Kaido, is a very silly, happy-go-lucky guy. You've seen him, right?
Yeah, I've seen him out of like, suit, out of series. He's really kind of goofy.
Yeah, like, in behind-the-scenes stuff, and stuff with his, like, dance group that he has. He's a very goofy fellow. So it's kind of nice to see him acting on screen the way he does off screen. I'm sure he appreciated that opportunity, too, to be, like, a big silly fucker instead of being, like, a brooding...
Yeah, after an entire series of being, like, a brooding dickbag, it must have been awesome to just be able to be goofy for a little while.
Yeah, just ham it up for 20 minutes. It must have been nice. But it turns out that the foreign guy who looks like Kaido, his butler, is trying to kill the foreign guy so that he can take over his father's company. So the butler transforms with a lock seed given him by Ryoma, and a lot of butler riders in Gaim Gaiden.
Ryoma's such a shithead. I know that's... If you've watched Gaim, you know that already, but Jesus.
Ryoma is the second biggest shitter in Gaim, right behind Cid.
I don't know. I think Michi would be pretty fucking high on the shitter list. He tried to kill all of his friends so he could get some tail.
That's true. That's true. Michi's a pretty big shitter. I would not forgive him for that. Unless he, like...
You're a bad man.
Unless he bought me a lot of stuff, I guess. I don't know.
There you go.
So,
buy him a bunch of action figures, he'll forgive you for killing his friends.
So the butler tries to apprehend Kaido because Kaido is dressed as the foreign guy, but he doesn't know. So Kaido, like, beats him up and transforms and fights him, and they do sick bike tricks. There's a bit where they're in, like, a warehouse on the edge of town, and they both hop on dirt bikes out of nowhere that are full gas and perfectly working, and they just start... Baron just, like, does a fucking backflip, and then they start, like, doing sick 360 methods and handle spins, and they're not even fighting each other, they're just tricking it up, and it's sick.
They're just trying to, it's basically like Tony Hawk's Underground. You have to fucking trick better than the other guy, get a higher score, and you win the battle.
Yeah, that's how you fight, you get a higher combo. So Baron fights him, and then Minato appears, the Peach Rider, if you remember, and she gives Baron the lock seed that the maid lady was using from Zangetsu's half. She just has it, and she throws it, and she's like, use this, Baron. And Baron's like, alright, fuck it. And it's the apple lockseed, you know? It looks exactly like the golden arms from the soccer movie. And it looks beautiful on Baron. Looks really nice on him. And he beats the baddie, he beats the bad butler, he changes places back with the silly man, and everything goes back to normal. Eskine Gaiden. Not bad.
I'm not entirely sure that I missed all that much from that description.
There's not...
It sounds like it's fun, especially the sick bike tricks. I've seen some GIFs and some videos of that. It looks pretty fucking
sweet.
I've seen
some WebMs of it, yes.
I've seen some WebMs.
WebMs. It's a really cool scene. The one... Like I said, it's not all that remarkable of a movie. It's okay, it's cool to see the new suits. The one thing that really stands out is that you get backstory on Baron's parents, on Kaido's parents. And I've told you this, Jeff, remember this?
Yeah, you've told me this part before. You knew it ahead of time.
Oh, yeah. Because if you remember in the story of Gaim, the Yggdrasil, the corporation, they buy out, like, a factory that Kaido's dad works at, and he's out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Gaim Gaiden, it's revealed that after Kaido's dad goes out of business, he starts drinking. And after he starts drinking, he starts beating Kaido's mom and Kaido. Like, he starts physically abusing his family. And after...
I want to remind everyone this is a children's show.
This is
meant to sell toys to children.
This is a show about dancing fruit men having Pokemon battles in the streets, by the way, just to remind you. And after that shit, it's not even the worst part. Kaido's mom kills herself. She takes a bunch of pills. And then after that shit, Kaido's dad hangs himself on the tree out back.
So next year, when the web-exclusive Gaim figures come out, the new ones, I want you guys to pick up Kaido's dead fucking father's corpse hanging from a tree action set.
Make sure you get the SHF that swings. No, man, that's fucked up. I'm not going any further with it.
That was the end of the joke anyway. I wasn't going to continue that shit.
No, I feel bad retroactively. I gotta say a few Hail Marys after this podcast. Jesus. No, would you expect that?
No, that is completely and fucking out of place. The series has had some tonally fucking dark moments in it. Like, Hase gets... Okay, maybe people haven't really watched Gaim.
Look,
if they're listening to this. Shit happens. Bad shit.
Nothing on that level, though.
No, nobody's parents fucking kill themselves, at least until Khan guides them.
You see Baron's dad swinging from the tree, like, waist down, and you see little baby Kaido Jr., who's like, whoa, and it's like, holy shit, like, this is the most, like, I guess the writer's like, oh, Gen Urobuchi wrote Gaim, and he's really, he has fucked up shit, so we gotta put fucked up shit in our shit. But no, it's like, it's obvious from the start that he's not writing it, and it's just like, this is, I don't know, it feels forced and out of place, and it's really fucked.
That's some fucking David Lynchian backstory right there.
Yeah, it's like some shit out of Silent Hill or something.
Just so everybody knows, we got the question about Gaim Gaiden from Kamen Rider himself.
Kamen Rider himself?
The email we received was from someone who only identified themselves as Kamen Rider.
Yes, he says, yo, loving the show so far. I always look forward to hearing you guys on Wednesday. Thanks, Kamen Rider. Since Gaim Gaiden just came out, I was just curious to see what you guys thought of it, and if you've seen it, just a thought. So, yeah, that's that.
Thanks for the email. It's fucked up, apparently.
It's great, and then it's just, well, okay, it's not great. It's okay, and then it just, whoa, at the end.
Let's do some more mail while we're at it.
Yeah, we're doing the mail. Why not? Okay.
I got this from, Cal the Heavy, let's say. That's the way he signed it.
Okay.
Cal the Heavy says, hi there, Jeff and Liam. What's up?
Yo.
First off, I love the podcast. Hope you guys are able to keep it up. Always makes me laugh. You have a terrible sense of humor. Thank you. I was wondering what you would consider to be the most impressive form of Heisei Rider and Showa Rider series that you would recommend above the others. What do you think the most impressive Heisei series or Showa series is that you would recommend above the others?
In each era?
Yeah, sure, let's do that.
I hate to be this guy, but for Showa, I want to say Black.
I could see that.
Everybody
absolutely.
And their mother says Black, I realize, but like, there's a reason. It's like a distillation of everything good about Showa.
He's
got the sick suits. He's got the sick practical effects, and I can't stress that enough. Practical effects that are really good. Like it was made in the late 80s, which like late 80s early 90s was like the golden age of special effects. So Black hit at the perfect time for that. Completely baller fight scenes, amazing soundtrack. It does episodic so well. Black is the best Showa. What do you think is the best Showa, Jeff, that you've seen?
Oh, God, I hate to agree with you, but Black.
Let's give your second favorite if it's not Black.
Black is probably the one that I would recommend above all others. I'm not saying it's my favorite, but it's the one I would recommend. Ooh. Because, like you said, it has the best of all the effects of the era, and it is a tokusatsu series. All of Kamen Rider is tokusatsu, which means special effects.
Mm-hmm.
It really weighs heavily on how good the series is, whether you want it to or not.
Yeah.
If I had to choose a second favorite, I have to say go back and watch the original Kamen Rider. It's being subbed right now. It's actually, I think
now,
they're on
I
episode
it was
like
actually
40
kids
something.
Stuff, so is it Midnight yes. Crew that's doing it?
I think it's Midnight Crew.
They do the old stuff, yeah.
And I might be wrong about that, and if I am, write in and tell me.
I'll correct it in post. There's nothing I can't do.
Yeah, just ADR my fucking voice in, going like, bunny hat subs, or whatever. But, yeah, the original Kamen Rider, especially the first 13 episodes, a lot of people have pointed this out and talked about it before, but there's sort of like a German expressionist style
German.
To the first 13 episodes of Kamen Rider.
This is new to me.
There's all these weird, like, camera angles and so much lighting effects done. There's all sorts of special effects done to create mind-bending realities and weird, unsettling scenes. And there's a lot of scenes of, like, four women in shocker costumes walking slowly forward while ADR laughing happens over top of it. It's terrifying. Go watch it.
See, I had never even heard about that. Now I kind of want to go back and see it.
Yeah, you should, absolutely. And then the series becomes the classic Kamen Rider that all other series are based upon. And though it doesn't do episodic as well as Black, it does it a lot better than later Showa series. although it does fucking switch gears so heavily after episode 13 when Ichimonji becomes Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
It, the whole weird Cronenberg-esque film style is just gone. And it's straight Showa action. And everything we've grown to love about Kamen Rider comes out of those Hayato Ichimonji episodes, where Rider 2 is the main character. And by the time Hongo actually comes back, episode 38, 39, somewhere around there, the series has hit its swing so well that and Ichimonji has become the main character at that point, so when Hongo comes back, even the announcer is like, "Do you remember this man?" But yeah, I would highly recommend that. What about your Heisei above all
others? You know what I'm about to say for Heisei above all others.
Yeah, I do.
Fucking Ryuki. Come on! If you are watching Kamen Rider and you haven't seen Ryuki, I guess I can't chastise you too much. I mean, maybe they just it doesn't look interesting, and that's fine. But go watch Ryuki. Give it a chance, because it's got some of the best characters I've ever seen in Rider. It's got great characters, they got great relationships with each other. The whole plot of the show is about it's a bunch of people fighting in a death battle for a wish. And that the whole wish angle is great because it forces every character, every rider in the plot to have one really strong motivation that they work towards. It's that wish that they want to get. And sometimes it brings them into conflict, or sometimes it makes them allies for a bit, or sometimes they're reluctant allies, or sometimes they're reluctant enemies. There's constant relationship changes and relationship developments in Ryuki, and it's just it's backstabbing betrayals, there's bro moments. Just great show
there,
for...
There are no bro moments.
There are some bro moments. Ryuki and Knight eat at the same table. They're buddies, even if they're
not
they're
buddies.
They have some buddy times. They have some, like, oh, you, like, annoying roommate times, you know? We're like, we'll put up with each other because we're buds. Bits. You don't sound convinced.
I don't sound anything, because I'm not saying anything.
What about Raya? He was a buddy.
He was, for a minute.
Yeah, but, Ryuki is the whole reason why I like Kobayashi so much. Ryuki's got, it's got good characters, and the ending isn't as bad as a lot of people think, so don't let that deter you.
Heisei's a different beast, to say, than Showa, because with Showa you're picking which series does the formula best, because all Showa boils down to the same formula.
Essentially, yeah.
And it was an insanely successful formula, is why they continued to make it. It's what people wanted at the time, but eventually that was dissolved. And if I had to pick which series I would recommend to people, it would probably be Double. And I've said this before, I went through all the reasons last episode why Double would be the one that I would recommend. But the one that I would say is above the others for me, the one that reaches a plateau that the others just don't quite make it to, is Kuga. And that's because Kuga has great characters as well, but it has one intensely amazing character that develops throughout the entire series, and you see a journey of that one character step by step. And to me, no other writer series gets close to that because it always splits its attention between multiple people. We don't get the depth that we get to in Godai Yusuke and other characters throughout Heisei Kamen Rider. And you grow to really love him as a character, not sexually unless you do, in which case, I understand. But you grow to attach to his character, to by the time the final battle's happening and you're really worried about his safety, because it's the final battle, you know, who knows what's going to fucking happen. You're like on the edge of your seat with your fists clenched, like, oh, come on, Godai, don't die! And it's hard to get me to care about a character that much. I can care about a character very deeply, but not to the point where I'm actually worried about a fictional character dying. But I was that way with Godai, and I hear that of all the Rider characters throughout all Kamen Rider history, the one that has affected the most people has put them on a different path in life to changing themselves and bettering themselves. It's Kuga. And he did it all with a thumbs up.
Yes, even if you've never seen Kuga before, that iconic thumbs up, you gotta know it.
So that's my answer.
Yeah, I would not begrudge you that. I must admit shamefully that I haven't seen Kuga. but it's next on my list after Kabuto.
It should have been first on your list, you fucking casual. No.
We have two letters now that are essentially the same question, so who's going to get the honor of being read?
Why don't we read both of them?
Alright, I'll do... Which one should I do?
You can do Barrett's.
Alright, I'll do Barrett. Hey Barrett, it's you again. This guy was the first guy that ever sent us a letter.
Oh yeah, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey! Barrett says, wow, I am a huge player of tabletop-style games. In order to keep some level of relevance, what system did you play to make your Kamen Riders, and could you tell us a bit about your original characters, Do Not Steal? I actually run the tabletop club at my college, so this is really exciting. Thanks, and thanks for making enjoyable junk to listen to. No problem, buddy.
Hey, you're welcome. I'm glad you enjoy this piece of shit. Somebody's got her. We got another email from Cyberman Worf. I'm sorry if you didn't want me to say your real last name there, Cyberman Worf, but I decided to do it anyway.
You got very creative parents, Cyberman.
Hello, you guys. Really enjoying this podcast that you do. Thank you.
Hey.
My question relates to when you mentioned that you guys played pen and paper RPGs based around Kamen Rider. The actual question is, what system was used for this, and what system would you use for a Kamen Rider game if given the choice? I'm asking mainly because I've been looking to adapt Kamen Rider through an RPG system for my games club. Also, I think the next Kamen Rider will be themed around the number 8 due to each rider being partially linked with a number. With regards, Siren Worf.
Before we go on to this, I love the theory that the number theme is still going. Have you seen...
What a dickhole way to react to that.
No, have you seen... Have you seen all the evidence, though, that the number theory is still happening?
Yeah, I don't buy the number theory either, but I don't laugh in the face of our listeners.
You got Wizard... For those of you that don't know, okay, so it ended with Forze, who is obviously 4 because it's the 40th anniversary series. And then you got Wizard, who uses rings, which go on your fingers, of which you have 5 on each hand. And then you have Gaim, who uses the lock seeds that look like 6s when they're open. And then you have Drive, that uses the shift cards that look like little 7s when you flip them. I'm sorry.
I think we've all learned what type of person Liam Soji really is on the inside. To answer your question, the game that we use is called Mutants and Masterminds because it's so hugely open to having different power types and power sets. We did have to set really specific rules for how you can use your powers, and we used a lot of arrays to do that.
If any Mutants and Masterminds players out there know what arrays are, we used those. It's just, with most RPGs, you gotta pick a class. Like, you know, D&D, you pick like Dwarf, Paladin, or whatever. But Mutants and Masterminds is good for a superhero game because it doesn't... There's nothing to pigeonhole you in. It's hard to describe the character creation, but it's really porous, and it supports a lot of... like, a huge, wide variety of powers that you can think up. So it's perfect for a Kamen Rider game where you have all sorts of people doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
And we also... This is probably the most important part, and we might be getting a little bit too heavy into tabletop here, but I wanted to point this out anyway, is that Mutants and Masterminds has a system called Hero Points that let you change the rules of the game momentarily to aid you in battle or whatever you want. You spend your Hero Points that you accumulate throughout the game in order to gain some sort of an advantage. And the way we homebrewed the system is that you use your Hero Point in order to do a finisher.
Yeah, you know, to...
Your, like, rider kick, or you're hitting something with a glowing axe, or whatever. And, I think that is the key, the first starting stone to build the house of a Kamen Rider RPG, is to use Mutants and Masterminds, and to use that home-ruled idea.
Yeah, it works pretty well. Mutants and Masterminds can be kind of bloated sometimes, especially in character creation. It's not a perfect system. But it's very good for any superhero-related game, even if it's a Japanese-style superhero. It works.
That's true. If you guys would like us to expound a little bit more on this, we might do that at a later date when we have a little bit more time. Just, like, send another email in or something and ask a little bit more specifics if you want help creating this for your clubs. We're all about, like, if you guys want to take our dumb ideas and have fun with them, go for it. We'll help out.
Yeah, we love tabletop, and we love people who play tabletop.
The coolest people. Mm-hmm. If you've never played a tabletop game, you're a loser. I like you.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. People who don't play Dungeons & Dragons, they're the losers.
Yeah, we're the real cool guys.
I realize sometimes, though, like, how fucking lucky we are that not only have we found a group of people who give a shit enough about tabletop and can meet weekly, but they also are willing to play a Kamen Rider tabletop game where we all get to make our fanfiction come real.
Yeah, two Kamen Rider tabletop games, actually.
Yeah, they were asking us, one of them asked us what kind of games we played. Do you want to give a little overview of the one that you were the dungeon master for?
Sure, I ran a game called Kamen Rider Cardinal, where the theme was chess pieces and tarot cards. Ooh. And everyone had a main form that was based on a chess piece, and they had upgrades based on tarot cards. And they were interchangeable throughout their belts, and there was a whole invading force that no one understood where they came from, and they were horrible monsters called Dark Pawns, and there was an organization that might have been evil and might not have been
Do
evil.
We care about spoilers? I mean...
They were evil. They were sort of half evil. Like, some of the people in the organization weren't evil. Liam's watching Kabuto now. He might quite understand where I came from with that idea now.
Yeah, but Yggdrasil was the same way. There were people in Yggdrasil who wanted what was best for everybody, and there were people in Yggdrasil who just wanted the fruit for themselves, so...
Well, Yggdrasil was sort of the opposite of Zekt, because when we first are introduced to Zekt, they're straight-up heroes. We understand them as heroes, and they slowly become villains.
Yeah.
And Yggdrasil is sort of the opposite.
Yeah, that was Cardinal, and... I will say, Jeff, I'm not just bullshitting when I say Cardinal is one of my favorite tabletop campaigns I've ever had the privilege of playing in.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, because I was flying by the seat of my pants like 99% of the time, and I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Well, you'll find that when you're dungeon mastering almost any game. Like, your players are never going to do exactly what you expect them to.
That's very true. And Liam was a player character in that game.
Mm, I played Kaido.
He was just Kaido.
I hadn't seen much comment. This was a while ago. Like, this was like, what, a year or two ago? It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was whenever Gaim had just started.
Yeah, I hadn't...
Like, Gaim was on episode, like, 11 or something when we started.
I hadn't seen much Kamen Rider around that time. So I was like, oh, and Ryuki and Gaim, the secondary rider's just a douche, so I'll be the secondary rider and I'll just be a big fucking douche. So yeah, it was really fun to play, though. It's really nice to play an Edgelord. I like it.
He was the knight chess piece as well.
Hell yeah.
I wonder why.
What a coincidence. The one I'm running right now is called Kamen Rider Heracles. And the theme of Heracles is nothing. Because it's a...
The theme of Heracles is, like, professional fighting.
Yeah, like,
of any kind.
UFC sort of thing. It's a setting... See, when I was a kid, I loved Beyblades. And, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! And those settings where everybody solves their problems with a children's game or something, and they hold huge tournaments for these spinning top battles, and I was like, I want to run a game like that, but everybody in my group likes Kamen Rider, so I'll just do it with Kamen Rider. So it's a setting where being a Kamen Rider is, you can just buy a belt, it's, like, costs as much as a car, and you can be a professional athlete, and Kamen Riders are professional athletes, and you can customize your shit however you want. So there was kind of, like, anybody can be any sort of fighter. One guy's, like, a winter-themed guy, like Winter Olympics. One guy's kitchen-themed. It's just all over the place. It's a really fun campaign. It's really wacky, and the bad guys are like an evil battle flick fight-fixing organization. They want to fix the fights for money.
Which is a great way to do villains for, like, a professional fighting league game, is to have them be fight-fixers. That was a stroke of genius.
Well, it's an obvious choice, I mean...
You could have done anything. You could have had a fucking dragon be the villain. It's anything.
Damn! That's a great idea. Pass me right by.
But of course, when I heard that, like, professional fights was the theme, I was like, holy shit, I could play Hulk Hogan.
And he did just that.
I play Kamen Rider Hollywood, who is a huge, pompous jerk.
He thinks he's the best.
An idiot.
Yeah.
He is... I compare him pretty heavily to the goofiness of, like, Date Akira in Oz. Just how over the top and ridiculous he is, but his like, dumbness level is turned up to, like, maximum. But I do a lot of leg drops and backbreakers and whatnot. My rider kick is a leg drop, as a matter of fact.
Calls people brother, you know.
It's It's a really friggin' fun game. Not as good as mine.
No,
of course
not. I remember when you first came on, the stage, and I put on Real American, and the whole table lost their shit.
He played Hulk Hogan's actual theme music.
Yeah,
and I didn't know he was going to.
Nobody at the table knew. That was the real stroke of genius. That was great.
Yeah, but we have a lot of fun playing Kamen Rider. I'll tell you what I would actually like to hear is if you guys do make Kamen Rider games with your clubs, tell us about them. I want to know what type of game you make.
Yeah, because I'm sure every Kamen Rider fan has an idea for a series bouncing around in their head, right? It'd be cool to see if they make them
tell
real.
Tell us about Kamen Rider 8s.
Yeah. Kamen Rider, what would you call a Kamen Rider 8?
Infinity?
Infinity, maybe?
Yeah. Eh? Hey.
Just spitballing.
Take it and run. Oh, I thought as well about the fact that they asked us what Kamen Rider we thought would be the next Kamen Rider.
Oh, right.
And I threw out an idea that time. I don't remember it. But I wanted to bring up that right after we stopped recording, I immediately thought Kamen Rider 7s with, like, a gambling theme would be amazing.
But Drive is 7. Drive is the number 7.
Shut up. You piece of shit. Everyone heard that Nira laugh you just did.
That's my mischief laugh. Ugh. Gambling Rider would be cool, but does that fly in Japan? Can you do the simulated gambling thing? And like, would parents have an outrage? Or
I don't know. Like, they have pachinko machines everywhere. They have Kamen Rider-themed pachinko machines.
That's true. Yeah, you could probably do it.
But just imagine he, like, puts a coin in his belt and, like, pulls a little lever and it does, like, the 777 to transform.
Yeah, that's, like, pachinko machines and slot machines and stuff. That's That's fodder for belt gimmicks.
It would be amazing. Yeah, I just wanted to point that out because it hit me. And I don't think we're going to be playing another Kamen Rider game after the two back-to-back we've been playing.
Yeah, maybe not for a little while. Burned out on Kamen Rider.
Not us overall, though. We're still going to be here every week talking about this shit.
Yeah, just burned out on Kamen Rider tabletop. Because the campaigns go on for quite a while, you know.
I think we played Kamen Rider Cardinal for almost it was 5 months? Something like that?
It was quite a while. I didn't mind, though. Fuck, it was a good campaign.
I started to mind after a while. Being a DM will take it right the hell out of
DMing, you. I love DMing like a brother, but it is tiring. It drains you.
Was there anything else you want to talk about Kamen Rider this week?
Yes! Remember that arcade machine? The camera one?
Oh, yeah.
Two things about it, but you go first.
There is a video on the Rider Club Tumblr right now. I just posted it. I just posted it yesterday, by the time you hear this.
I just posted it 15 hours ago.
Or the day before, depending on how long editing takes.
Oh no, it's Monday today. Yeah, this won't be up till Wednesday. Yeah.
So I posted it fucking ages
just
ago.
Just scroll really far down.
I'll repost it on Wednesday after I post the video.
I'll put it in the blog post and we'll see it.
Yeah, just put it in the blog post. That'll be fine. Yeah. Put it in the YouTube link as well. I feel like we're shafting YouTube viewers with no links.
I will deign to grant the YouTube peasants the link to the video.
YouTube peasants, you piece of shit.
I think they make up the bulk of our audience, too.
I will stand up for the YouTube peasantry. I will be the Robin Hood of YouTube listeners.
Okay, that'll be our dynamic.
Liam's a big asshole, and I'm the hero. I'm fine with that.
Oh, we've been doing that since we met. This'll be easy.
Anyway, the Kamen Rider Drive game where, like, a child can stand in front of a little video camera and he transforms on the screen into a really jittery, fucked up 3D version of Kamen Rider Drive is really popular in Japan. So popular that Decade himself, Kamen Rider Decade, Masahiro Ino, has been videoed standing in front of it doing the transformation sequence and leaning over so the camera can take his face in so he can transform.
The camera's too short, so he's standing in front of it and it goes up to, like, his waist and he has to, like, bend down so it catches his whole body.
Go and watch that video. Many giggles were had. Also, there's a in the blog post, there's a secondary image of him, like, posing for a photo with the drive suit on in the machine. It's amazing.
That's great. Masahiro Ino is a fun guy. It's a shame he had to be in such a strongly disliked series. Because he genuinely loves Kamen Rider.
He does. There's actually, I posted this ages ago, maybe like a year or so ago, or more. But the artist who does Kamen Rider Spirits did a portrait in the same style of Kamen Rider Spirits of Masahiro Ino. And he's like standing next to it looking happier than anyone I've ever seen in my life.
I want to see that. That looks cool.
You should be able to find it if you do a quick search.
I'll find it. I'll throw it in the blog post if I can.
So what's your story about this horrible machine that creates an abomination drive?
Apparently they're giving out a toy if you win. And it's not just a shitty toy, it's an actual decent sculpt. It's a non-posable, but a decent sculpt of drive type speed. That if you, I think it's if you get a high enough score or something in it, you get the toy. But you probably have to spend as many quarters as the fucking figure would cost trying to get the figure. But still, it looks really cool. There's pictures of it.
Yeah, you won that figure, though. It's worth more than just buying it, then.
You worked for it. But there's a bunch of high-res pictures on it, and I'll throw that in the blog post. I'll throw a link for that. It looks like a really nice figure for something that they give out in arcade machines. So yeah, that's the news.
But that's Japan for you. They go all out with shit.
Not like here.
If you win something at Chuck E. Cheese's or something, you get a fucking piece of plastic with Chuck E.'s face on it that's worth nothing.
Yeah, go to Japanese Chuck E. Cheese's, you get like a fucking PS4, HDTV. Have you ever played Stacker?
Yeah, I've played Stacker.
Stacker is, that's the real Inferno machine. Fuck that Kamen Rider shit.
Stacker is created to make you think that you have a chance of a happy life and to fucking destroy it.
Stacker is greed given form.
I also like that it says nice try when you fucking lose. Fuck you, machine. Don't take pity on me.
It's being nice so you'll try again and give it more money. Like, maybe I can get that 3DS. Maybe. You can't.
You'll never get that 3DS. Give up.
Stacker's not possible. Is that everything this week? I believe that's everything on my...
I think that's a good point to end on, talking about Stacker on a Kamen Rider podcast.
We're coming up on an hour here, and that's pretty much everything on my docket, so...
Well, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. We have Twitter, at Rider Club Radio. We have a Gmail you can send shit to, as people have been doing, and we super appreciate that.
Yes.
We will read every letter on this podcast... Unless we get more than four.
Let's say cut it off at five. If we get a shit...
We'll cut it off at five.
Yeah, we'll do five here, and if we don't respond to it in the podcast, we will email you back. So there's that.
We will absolutely respond to all of them regardless.
Yes.
And we'll even, like, sign who responded to it at the bottom of the email.
Oh, will we? We're gonna...
Yeah, we'll do that shit. And
okay.
If both of us want to respond, we can both respond to it.
Yeah, I see. Give our separate opinions.
Yeah, because his opinion's shit. I don't want to be attached to that.
Oh, please. But yeah, keep sending us in mail. I love it. It makes me feel very validated in my life.
It's riderclubradio@gmail.com, if I didn't mention
that. Yes, and that will be down in the description, of course, of both the blog post and the YouTube. So,
if we're really shitty, send us an email that says, fuck you, in giant 800-point type. And
do
I
it.
Will read it on the podcast.
He'll yell it really loud to get across the big font.
I will clip the fuck out of the microphone to get your hatred across.
That's all for this week.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
See you.